So basically, we thought about what women are going to be doing now during this crisis, and the fact is they're going to be at home most of the time. So we decided to place orders with of products that we knew they would be wearing at home, like more pajamas and more comfortable clothing and things that they would be wearing around other people as well. So for us, we thought about ourselves and what we would want during this situation.
Welcome to the Winning E-Commerce Experience Show, where it's all about creating a brand that your customers love so they keep coming back. This show is brought to you by DataQ. Your store experience begins with your homepage. DataQ improves your conversion rate up to 30% by showing each visitor a personalized homepage based on their interest. And now, your host, Shyam Enver.
Hey guys, our guest today is the CEO and co-founder of Kenswoman.com. They're a fast-growing lingerie e-commerce platform based in the Middle East. Since 2017, Kenswoman has grown rapidly and now operates in multiple countries in the Middle East. Christina Gennett, it's great to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, it's so you're calling in from Ramallah right now, correct?
Yep.
Looks like currently a beautiful day outside.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day, but unfortunately, we're not able to enjoy it too much these days.
I know, it's like a cruel bit of irony, right? Like the weather's getting better, but the news is getting worse.
Exactly. Exactly. And we actually went into lockdown March 5th. So it's been over a month that we've been in this situation.
Wow. And have they said anything about maybe a potential, end to the lockdown, or is it sort of indefinite right now?
It's just been extended until until the end of April, and then they'll have another, conversation, and we'll see, or like assess the situation, because we don't really have the healthcare facilities to manage an outbreak, which is why we went into lockdown super early, probably one of the earliest countries in the world to implement, strict measures of movement and traveling. So it's really mainly because of the healthcare system on being unable to manage like a huge spread, which has actually been the smartest move, because I mean, right now we have over 200 cases and 2 deaths, so it's it's not super high numbers.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess that's kind of like the issue with every government is grappling with right now, like this dance between economics and health. Like how do you, because it's affecting entrepreneurs like you as well, right? Like in terms of running business. And I guess from an e-commerce point of view, it's people can still come up and go online and shop, but has it hit you guys in terms of delivery and getting orders to people and supply chain?
Yeah, all of those.
Nice.
We were super worried actually when this whole thing started, because we just had no idea what to expect. We didn't know if this was going to affect us in a good way or a bad way. And we're still not sure, because, every single day is different. And so for us, we were an e-commerce business targeting Gulf countries. So our primary target market is Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I'm not there physically right now is even more of a challenge, because I'm not on the ground. I don't know what's going on. I only hear news after it happens. So So I feel like sometimes I'm 2 steps behind, but we have an amazing logistics partner who I'm chatting with on WhatsApp every day, the CEO of that company, and he's constantly bringing updates and obviously emailing official updates to all of the clients. But totally stress is finding a good partner. Logistics partner who's going to be transparent, who's going to be open, who's going to give you the rundown and not leave you with many questions.
Right. Let's talk about that a little bit. Because, you know, when a pandemic hits, it happens every year. But let's say, like, you know, when something very disruptive happens, right, it's almost like all your assumptions and everything just goes out the window. And suddenly it's like this new normal, so to speak, right? So when it hit, like you said that you guys were really worried, and you know, I mentioned a whole bunch of things like supply chain, delivery, blah blah blah, and all of these have been affected. But how did you guys think through this whole process? Like, did you make a sort of some kind of quick plan? Like, look, here are the areas that we are going to be seeing the most risk, and this is what we're going to do about it. Like, what was your thinking behind? How did you prepare for this? I mean, it's not a great word, but probably the best thing I could come up with.
Yeah. So the first immediate reaction we had was we need to create a contingency plan for different scenarios. Worst case scenario, best case scenario, and kind of average case scenario. Right. I will also say that we've had a lot of support from our investors. Mm-hmm. So they, like, when this whole thing started happening, they also reached out and they said, we will help you, you know, come up with this plan. We will see what are the best situations for all of the companies, in the portfolio. You know, basically they offered a lot of assistance early on and a lot of support, which kind of helped us keep going because we didn't feel like we were alone and we didn't feel like, you know, we were the only ones having to figure this out. So I mean, I'm so thankful for that, honestly, because it's like we had other people to rely on, other people to talk to, other startups as well to hear about what they're going through.
So was that advice more of like a process thing where they said, all right, Christina, like, yes, Here's what you should be thinking through, or is it something else?
Well, it not necessarily like what we should be thinking through, but they highly encouraged us to start working on a plan, in order to like see where we will be 3 months down the line, 6 months down the line, and 12 months down the line. So right. That's what we did. And we created different budget scenarios, basically. And we, you know, the worst case would be that like our sales drop more than 50%. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then also like a best case scenario where we are continuing to grow around 10 to 15% per month. So they kind of helped to guide us through that process. Mm-hmm. And then I obviously, like, I had conversations with them and showed it to them and basically showed what we need because we're currently raising. So we're in a difficult time right now because right. we're fundraising. And I was already, I've been reaching out to several angel investors and, things were totally, you know, secure, moving forward, moving in the right direction. And then three of them decided to hold off. And this, you know, and I totally did not see that coming. We have other ones that have decided to move forward and believe that now is the time more than ever that we do need that financial support. So it's kind of split half and half. You know, there's those that don't want to take the risk, which is completely understandable. And, you know, I don't know what I would do if I were in their position, but, you know, some have chosen to take the risk and some have not. So that's something else that we've had to take into consideration and had to show them as well, you know, this is how we're going to mitigate those risks. And this is how we see ourselves moving past this crisis and where we see ourselves 6 months down the line.
Right. So it sounds a lot like this risk mitigation plan, so to speak, like the scenario analysis has been very helpful with managing all the stakeholders, right? Because, you know, when I think as entrepreneur to entrepreneur, we can agree that we're not alone in this. Like, we are kind of alone in the decisions, but our business health depends on so many other people around us that we have to actually manage everyone's expectations. So in your case, you have investors, we have employees, customers as well. So that's like a really great point, I think, for anyone listening in right now, is like, go make a scenario analysis, like what Christina just said, right? Like, think about your best case, worst case. And what you said that I think that was really interesting is that, like, no matter how well you planned it. It sounds like you had a little bit of your worst case and a little bit of your best case, and all of this happening at the same time. But so talk us through that. Like, so how did you what did you do with that? Did you just think, all right, I'm gonna take a little bit of what I planned for the worst case, and a little bit of. So was it like, did you segment it by sections? Like, okay, my supply chain is currently in the worst case situation, so I'm gonna do that part of the plan. But my sales are on the best case scenario, so I'm gonna do that part of the plan. How did you make it merge?
That's a good question. It's can you hear me? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I hear you.
You froze for a second. All of that. Basically, the number one thing that we were worried about was supply chain. So the first thing that we did was I didn't talk too much about the business, but we run kind of a inventory and a dropship model. So basically we hold some inventory and we do a lot of dropshipping for products that we don't want to carry several sizes in and run the risk of holding that inventory and having it sit on the shelves. Sure. So basically we were at a point where, you know, we had calls with all of our suppliers, and we mainly source products from the US and from Turkey. Mm-hmm. And we were so worried, which is what happened, that some of them would stop operating. We have a couple in California completely closed down right now. So basically what we decided to do was actually place inventory orders of our best-selling products. We have been in the business for a couple of years now, so we do understand our shopping habits from our customers, and we can basically forecast our inventory orders and make those decisions confidently, because we know, you know, what sizes they're going to order. We know what colors they like. So now we're in a position where we can actually make those informed decisions. So what we did was we placed some orders, because our biggest concern was that we weren't going to be able to get products into the country, and into our, like, to our logistics partner. So that was the first thing we did. We didn't even consider our budget at the time. We basically we cut salaries, in order to make sure that we could place those orders on time and get them into Saudi Arabia. And that was the first thing we did. And we just had to go forward with it. And we had to explain later to our investors that this is what we did. And these are the, we got an email two days ago from our logistics partner saying that they've completely closed, and they're not operating at that moment. But I spoke to the CEO and he said it'll most likely just be 2 days of closure, because they had to get the right permits to operate during curfew hours.
Right.
So they just got the permit. But I freaked out and I was like, oh my God, our business has that's it, we're done. It wasn't that extreme. We really wanted to make sure that we had our inventory in the country, so that we're not in a situation where, you know, products are getting stopped, or, you know, flights are stopping, delivery stopping, being delayed. Sure. So we've kind of, in a way, almost switched our business model because which was our plan, within 18 months was to reduce drop shipping anyway, because it's just longer delivery times, it's more expensive. There's so many factors, that we've been wanting to eliminate drop shipping for a very long time. So maybe this is kind of like the right push in the right direction, in a way. I don't want to say thanks to the epidemic, but in a way, you know, that is the case.
It's affected change in every industry, I think. So it's almost like accelerated timelines. It's like killed off things much faster than, ideas. But I want to just go back to that point you were making, because essentially what we've been talking about here is like this idea of mitigating risk. But It looks like the kind of risks that you've identified were essentially just to ensure survival, right? Like, how do I keep running my business during this crisis? And what are the things that could potentially stop it? So, like, obviously, as an e-commerce brand, if you don't have inventory to sell, then you don't, there's no point having a website up. So it's not, that sounds really exactly. smart that you've got that inventory down. But you said something really interesting that I want to dive into a little bit, where you said, you know what, we just took our best-selling products. And I'm just sort of like linking that to sort of the mantra of your brand, which I was reading, that, you know, you guys are really up for like giving like women the choice of many, many different sizes, because I think that's why you guys started, where you felt that like that was a very underserved part of the market.
Inclusivity.
So how did you like balance that? Because I think a lot of e-commerce companies are going through this whole thing where they're looking at their inventory and they're like, you know what, there's no way we can survive doing exactly what we used to sell before. But I guess you guys have this extra complication of having this whole brand identity behind this. So how did you guys think through that?
Yeah. So basically we thought about what women are going to be doing now during this crisis. Mm-hmm. And the fact is they're going to be at home most of the time. So we decided to place orders with of products that we knew they would be wearing at home, like more pajamas and more comfortable clothing and things that they would be wearing around other people as well. So for us, we thought about ourselves and what we would want during this situation. Mm. And we also we framed it on the website, on our blog, on social media, that, you know, you can still shop on our website from the comfort of your home and feel luxurious and feel comfortable and feel like, you know, you're still having this like great shopping experience from us, even during these difficult times. And we have the options for you. And we have options for you, for what you could wear during these times. And so we kind of just like thought a lot about the psyche of the customer and what it is that they would want during this time. And what we thought was basically true, because those products are actually selling out.
Excellent. Yeah. I love that so much, because you kind of flipped my question around there, right? Because I think my question was mostly on like how, like sort of like a me approach, like, hey, this is my inventory, what can I sell? So I'm going to go with that. Whereas you flipped that around and like, no, actually we thought about our customer first and we try to think like, what would they want? And then we plan for that. So it's almost like back to that marketing 101 kind of thing, right? Where it sounds like since you guys started earlier on and you had a very clear idea of your customer, and I think it really helps that, you know, being women yourselves, you can actually sit, you can think in the shoes of your customer as well, that you were able to make intelligent decisions based on that. And like you switched your marketing and everything to really like maybe funnel that demand to the inventory that you have versus sort of being letting the pandemic dictate terms to you.
Absolutely, absolutely. From the get-go, we were honest with our customers. We posted several posts on Instagram on the fact that maybe orders would be delayed, and you know, just like constantly having that conversation with them so that they know that they can trust us, number one, that we still have very good customer service, number two, and number three, that we're going to be with them every step of the way. And nothing has changed, basically. And you can still shop from our website. There's nothing to worry about. But to expect that, you know, maybe things won't arrive within a week, for example, but that you're still getting a great shopping experience.
Right. And so when you did that, did you get any customers writing to you and saying something like, hey, this is awesome, thank you, like this is exactly what I needed? Did you get some kind of that market feedback, or was it just morally that you tested it based on sales, like people buying it, so you knew you had the right idea?
No, we definitely did get some comments like that. Some people, like, again, they were like, oh, are you guys still operating? Like, are you still selling? And we were like, yep, like nothing's changed. But right now we just want to focus on items that, you know, we think you're going to enjoy more from, like wearing at home, because you can't really leave and you're around family and et cetera. So we definitely, we always have these conversations with our customers. We always, we ask them also, we post a lot of times like different products that we haven't purchased yet. And we ask them, like, do you like this? Like, what do you think of this? You know, because I mean, that just gives you all the answers you need. You can literally just ask your customers what it is that you like and what it is that you would want more of from us. And that's what we do. We do that all the time. And this has also helped us in making those decisions of our purchasing and what works best, what doesn't work best. And especially during different seasons, like right now, this is typically, we're kind of entering like bridal season right now, but there's not a lot of weddings, but people are still telling us like, no, we want to order this stuff because as soon as this is over, like there will be so many weddings basically.
Right. Yeah. I think there's just going to be a ton of pent up demand. I think travel is another one where I think people just being stuck at home. I don't even want to think about what the airports are going to look like when people actually get to go ahead to go travel. But you know, I think there's just so many good nuggets of advice in there that I really just want to like take a little bit of a moment and unpack that. Right. I think what you guys did has been very smart so far. So, you know, for everyone listening in, I think just doing that risk analysis, huge. But in the end, it seems like most of the decisions you guys made were based on the fact that you knew your customers very well. And it really made things easier for you to make those decisions. So, you know, I think as entrepreneurs, you know, we tend to forget that, like, if we've been in business for a long time, you do already have a pretty good idea of who your customer is. You've been talking to them, you've been selling to them. So even if you don't know exactly how to how to react, just like what Christina was, you know, talking about, you could email them, right? Like what you guys just did. Like you could talk to them and you could be like, hey, like, yes, we're thinking of this new idea, or like we'd like to try this new concept, and you can do a quick test. I think that's a very smart way of going about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, we like to say our customers are sometimes high maintenance, and they can be very demanding, and they can actually tell us like, we don't like that, we want this, you know, like very specifically, like we want the color red, for example. So you kind of get used to it, and at the end of the day, you know, we're here for them, and it's to provide them with a good shopping experience, good quality products, and you know, so that they will keep coming back. I mean, I think that's like the ultimate goal with an e-commerce business, is that, you know, your retention rate is always up.
Yeah, I mean, it's always cheaper to keep your existing customer than spend money and getting a new one, right?
Absolutely.
So let's move on a little bit to sort of the present day. So we've talked a lot about how you guys planned around it, and it sounds like you guys made some really good decisions. But, you know, essentially somebody who's listening in, who's thinking, you know what, I actually haven't done that. And that ship has kind of sailed, right? Like you can't suddenly go and do a big order and come in. Assuming that, you know, people do have some inventory, like what is like business as usual, quote unquote, look like for you guys right now? Like, how are you managing it throughout this? Because there's no certainty, like what we just talked about maybe before we started recording the podcast, you don't even know how long the lockdown is going to be. You know, like, what is that new normal for you? How are you guys running your business right now?
So another thing I actually should mention is that we, since a month ago, I've been emailing not just our suppliers, but even like the subscription tools and everything that we're using to ask for discounts, actually. Because obviously we do have to think about the fact that money will eventually run out. And so one of the first things I did was I just emailed everyone and I said, you know, no one knows how long this is going to last. Is there anything that you can do to kind of help us during these times? And And, you know, surprisingly, many times people say yes. And they, you know, I've gotten, like, for example, Zoho, which is our CRM management tool, mm-hmm. gave us 3 months for free.
Nice.
Yeah. And I've been emailing AWS to ask for some type of credits or, you know, some type of way to reduce our monthly costs a bit.
Right.
And also the brands that we're carrying, I've asked them all to, if they can give us some type of discount, 10, 15%, because anything helps. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of become the new normal for us. Also just being in constant update and contact with our logistics provider. Another thing that's completely changed that we were not expecting, which we were aiming for down the line, was to increase our credit card usage. Because in the Middle East, the majority of people pay with cash on delivery. And so this affects our cash cycle, and we don't get the money deposited into our bank account until 3 weeks later. So as a result of the pandemic, countries in the region have now stopped cash on delivery, and you can do card on delivery or you can do prepaid. So our credit card usage has gone up, which is, you know, has been the goal for us since day one. So in a way there's many threats, but at the same time there are opportunities, and this is an opportunity for us, because we you know, if we have our cash cycle in a healthy flow, then, you know, we're able to make more purchases, and we're able to just, like, the overall health, the financial health of the business is in a better state than the way it used to be, where we were constantly waiting on our cash on delivery sure. payments to be processed.
Sure. So basically you've seen some, I don't want to use the word good, but like you've seen some favorable changes as well amidst the all the doom and gloom. Okay, but you know, I want to get back to that like question on like business as usual right now, right? Like mm-hmm. how are you guys? Like, you know, for instance, are you having more frequent leadership meetings where you're thinking, you know, what to do, or are you, mm-hmm. You know, because it seems like there's a risk or some problem happening very frequently. So, you know, you just mentioned the logistics mm-hmm. provider not having the passes for 2 days. So, you know, I'm sure that had some alarm bells ringing. Have you guys changed the way you work for this period?
So I will say that we were actually very well equipped to handle this situation, to work remotely and to work from home, okay. because we already have been doing it. The mm-hmm. team is basically remote. My co-founder is in the US right now. We have someone else in Turkey. We have someone else in Canada. So we already had the tools in place in order to create a business like this virtually. I mean, there are several months in the year where we are together, but it hasn't been like that since maybe 6 months. So we, you know, we already do talk every single day. We have our scheduled meetings every single week where, you know, I highly recommend always using video when you're talking to your staff, because, you know, you want to see everyone, you want to be, sure. you want to make sure that you want to make sure that you're on the same page. And obviously we use like tasks management tools like Asana and, you know, to make sure everyone is on top of their to-do lists. So in terms of like the actual running of the business, we haven't felt it negatively, just because it was our day-to-day business as usual operations.
So let's condense that to perhaps some advice that someone listening in right now who is not as you know, well-versed in remote working and has sort of found themselves forced to do that. So from what you're saying, it sounds like you encourage very frequent cadence, right? So a lot of meetings where you're, I guess, you know, one thing I've heard about remote working is over-communicate more than under-communicate, because you want to make sure people yeah. get it. And I think the second part of what you said was that you use some kind of software to like do some kind of project management, task management, so that everybody's sort of on the same page. Are these sort of the two pillars of like what you described to be why you guys are so effective as a remote team?
Yeah, and I think also honesty, like, you know, being honest, being accountable, and being available. I think these are the other three things that I would say helps our team run really well, because when we don't know something, we say we don't know it. And when we have to do, we do it, and we're not relying on someone else. We're not waiting on someone else. You know, I will say that I don't think any of this is possible if you don't have the right team. And I think, I think that is why we're managing so well during this period, because we're really there for each other and we really provide support for one another. You know, we're all in different places right now, so we are each other's support unit in a way. And so it's, I think, just like being there for one another, and it's okay if you're having a tough day. Like, you know, like we're super flexible. Like, we're not like you need to be online at 10 a.m. or, you know, like it's never been the case like that with us, which is why we give everyone such flexibility and such transparency, because we know at the end of the day they're going to get the job done, and it doesn't matter what time they get it done. You know, so this is, I think, what else contributes to how we're able to operate during this difficult period.
And you know what, honestly, I think that's the key one, more than anything else. It's like that trust that you have with your team. Like, I mean, obviously you may disagree, but because, you know, I've seen stories where apparently like sales of spying software has skyrocketed now, where bosses want to install stuff on their employees' computers just to make sure they know, you know, what they're doing. And it's like, you know, it's like, at least from what I see, when you're going into a new model, the only choice you have is to embrace it fully. And the thing with remote working is equals flexibility. It means that you can get out of bed in your pajamas and get to work. So, you know, it's not about completing this hourly quota of work where you could be playing solitaire. Rather, like, there's a task and you've got to do it by, I don't know, Friday 12 p.m., 12 noon. And I don't care if you do it at 3 a.m. on a Thursday, it's fine, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I left my previous job because of those like stringent like ways of operating, and like just constant wanting this constant check-in, which was not for my personality at all. so it makes sense that, you know, starting this business, I would do something that's completely opposite of that. Of course, we all have work to do, and of course, we all have things that we need to get done and finish things on time. Sometimes there's deadlines. Sure. You know, customers are waiting, our suppliers are waiting, the delivery companies, etc. But one of the reasons for starting the business was also to create a work environment that is open and you know, it doesn't have such strict measures on right. Everyone.
No, that makes a lot of sense. So I want to switch gears a little bit now, because, you know, we talked about being human, you know, connecting authentically, and, you know, that with the team and employees. But it sounds a lot to me like you've done the same thing with your customers, right? Like you've clearly built a community of people who identify with the brand and what it stands for. And I think there's, you know, there's an unprecedented number of people who are considering having to go online right now. I think they've been in brick and mortar stores all their life. They've never really gone online. And the conversations I've been seeing have kind of been on the wrong topic. So everyone's really worried about whether they should be on Shopify or WooCommerce or Magento, like in a very technical sense. But I'm not sure. It sounds like you guys really didn't do that too much. You really focus on the customer. So maybe just walk us through your thought process in 2017 when you founded the company. So, you know, you want to go online. You've clearly built a successful brand, but like it's never a straight line. Like, you made mistakes and you did some things right. And So for someone thinking about going online today, how would you condense your sort of school of hard knocks into like a few bits of advice? It's a tough one, I know, but.
So, I mean, we were in this position when we first launched, like where, like what platform do we use? So to backtrack even some more, like I didn't have a business background. I didn't have experience in running an online business.
Politics and international. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Oh, I guess my.
It looks like it disconnected for a second.
Okay.
So basically, I was saying, I studied politics and international law, and my background was in something extremely different. And I thought that I was gonna go work at the United Nations, for example, and do something that I felt had impact, maybe in the traditional sense of things. Mm-hmm. And then I started learning about entrepreneurship, and I started learning about tech and startups, and I decided that, you know, this was a really interesting field. There were a lot of other startups launching from Palestine. And I thought, you know, why not try something completely new? Because I was always the type of person that would just start things without really having a lot of experience. And I've done that in my past and in previous work. So, you know, I just jumped into it without my co-founder and I, we just like came up with this idea. And we said, for us, we wanted to do something that would be able to impact women's lives positively. Mm-hmm. And this was, that was kind of the backbone for launching the business. And then everything else was literally us figuring it out. Like we, you know, like, is there a platform we can use where we can do everything ourselves? Like we don't have the money to hire a developer to make a website. So, so basically we went on Shopify and we just like read blogs and we took online courses and we really taught ourselves what we're supposed to do. Like we've been doing the marketing, we've been doing the purchasing, we've been doing everything ourselves. And we've been able to grow our community. Like on Instagram now we have over 130,000 followers. So it's a lot of trial and error.
Let's talk about that though. So you tried so many. That's all right.
Sorry, can you say that again?
Yeah, okay, you sound much better now. So I want to talk about the trial and error a little bit because you mentioned so many topics, right? And I think one of the things which anyone looking to get online today, especially with all the stuff that's going around, you have this sense of being overwhelmed, right? So like based on that trial and error, what would you say were the things that you felt were the most important things that you did that went well for you, you know, like that? And maybe we can talk about sort of the mistakes that you did that maybe people shouldn't do. But, you know, like, so for instance, you mentioned the Instagram and that grew up. So was that a major thing that really helped promote you? So, you know, if say someone's starting today, like what would, what are the top things that come to your mind was like, yes, like, thank goodness we did this. And that's what really helped us grow.
I would say like establishing your brand identity and what it is. Why are you doing this and what is your brand? Why do you exist? Who are you? Again, like the point is like, who are your customers and what is it that you can provide for your customers? Mm-hmm. For us, I think we made mistakes, especially early on, because we weren't really focused on, we didn't know who our customer was at the time. You know, we didn't know who our customer would be.
Right.
And we would like source products that actually didn't relate to our customers at all. Mm. And were not according to their tastes and preferences whatsoever. And that was a mistake because, you know, we purchased products and we had inventory that was not selling. And it was really because it wasn't what our customers liked. It wasn't, I mean, we're targeting a very specific geographical location. Mm-hmm. And And I think when we first launched, we were thinking more about what women maybe in Europe or the US liked. And I think one of the main reasons for that was because we weren't, we didn't have a lot of, like, we weren't spending a lot of time with our customers. So right. Something I would encourage people to do is actually speak to who you think will be your customer. Go and survey them, go and sit with them, have conversations, have focal groups, you know, like, I mean, I know that's really difficult. Yeah, no, really though. I mean, it's possible, but okay. That's like such an extreme way to communicate with them. You can just ask people a question on social media, you know, and you can get feedback. And that's what we did. We literally just started talking to our customers more one-on-one. And we realized, you know, like the average size of our customers is different than what it would be for a woman in another country. So this allowed us to, you know, really hone in on what they like and what their style is and what their preferences are. And speaking to them on that level, like, so that they feel comfortable and they want to continue shopping from us. That's something that we learned though. And that's something that took time.
So let's talk about those first few months. And I think that's where, because platforms like Shopify make it so easy for you to get online and start selling. So I don't think, it seems to me that there's like sort of an explosion right now. Like, you know, even on our end, we are getting more app installs now during this pandemic than we did before, and mm-hmm. most of it is because it seems like they're all very new stores. But let's talk about that point where you've got your store up, you've got your products in, you have a hypothesis of what your customers want. What did that first 5-6 months look like? Like, were you talking to each person who made an order with you to understand the requirements? How did you use that learning to keep growing? Which is what I think a lot of people want to do.
Yeah. We did talk to our customers. I think maybe we talked so much to our customers. I think you also, like, it's a lot about prioritizing, right? Like, you need to realize what your priorities are. You shouldn't spend so much time doing one thing as opposed to another. It's really hard when you're doing everything yourself. But I would say, like, early on, if you're able to hire the right people, I think this makes a whole world of a difference, because you know, you're learning together and you're making these mistakes together and you're contributing and you're sharing ideas and you're able to, like, resolve things much quicker. At the very beginning, it was just my co-founder and I, I think maybe we didn't have such a huge, like, a very fast launch, and we didn't accelerate quickly because we were still figuring things out. And I think it's like very rare where you see that, like, instant growth in one direction.
Yes.
I don't think, like, it's just, you know, not super realistic to, you know, I mean, it's of course important to have those goals and reach those milestones. But yeah. I think the reality of it is that it's not always going to be like that. And I would say a year and a half ago, we were in a position, like, we had already launched the business. It had been over a year or so into the business. And, you know, we were not in a good position. Our sales weren't really growing. We weren't really getting support from investors. And we, like, considered maybe we should just close the business. But what we did was we looked elsewhere for that support. And we found investors that wanted to stand behind us and supported our idea and supported our vision.
Nice.
And we were able to continue, and things, you know, changed thereafter, because we had the right tools in place. We were mentored by the right mentors, And I think that plays a big role in our success, because I mean, we're still growing and we're still, you know, like there's still a lot to learn, and we're still making mistakes all the time. But I would just say that if you surround yourself with the right mentors and the right people that actually believe in you and support you, I think that will make a huge difference in your in the outcome of your business.
I agree. It's almost like you're having someone like tell you up front, hey, don't go down the road, it's a dead end. Just stay on this one, right? Especially because like time is money, and like how much capital you have kind of determines how long you can stay in business. So I think that's a really good. So listen, Christina, we've spoken about a lot of things, and I hate to do this, but you know, like let's sort of like try to do a quick summary, right? So like, what are the you know, for a small business e-commerce owner who's, you know, listening right now, what would you say are the top three takeaways for you from what you've learned running your business that they should do right now?
A few things I would say would be, you know, if we're going to pick three things, understand what your brand is. Why do you exist as a brand? Like, what's the purpose of it? Not just to sell, but your vision down the line. Like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Do you eventually want to be acquired by someone else, or do you want to really like grow this thing, and build a huge community behind it? The second thing I would say would be to then figure out who it is that will be your customer. Because you can't go into this blindly. You really do need to understand who your customer is at the end of the day, because then if you're doing all of these targeted ads, like who are you targeting? So I would say to really understand who your customer is, try to survey potential people that could be your customers, whether you're targeting men or women or people of a certain age or of certain socioeconomic backgrounds. You know, really, really try to hone in on who that person is and create different personas for your customers, mm-hmm. because then, you know, you can really realize what that person likes and what they're looking for. And that will keep you from guessing. And then the third thing I would say is, try, it's so difficult, but to try and build a team of people that have that believe in the same idea as you, that have the same mindset as you, and are in it for the right reasons. And I think that's probably the hardest thing, because you know, yeah. it's hard to find people that have the same belief system as you. So it's I think it's what's really contributed to our success, is having this strong team of people that, you know, support one another, are there for one another, and are not going to run away when it gets difficult.
So I think this is, people listening in should definitely come check out Ken's Woman. Maybe just tell the viewers how they can find your site, maybe about your Instagram as well, so they can just sort of see a real life example of everything you've been talking about.
Yeah, our website is Kenz, K-E-N-Z, woman.com. Same name for Instagram, all over social media. I can also be reached, Christina at kenzwoman.com. If anyone ever has any questions, I'm happy to help. Yeah, please check us out.
Awesome. Hey, Christina, it was really great having you on the show.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
You're still here, which means you definitely enjoyed that conversation. This is a special COVID-19 e-commerce miniseries to help small business merchants out there get prepared. We're doing a lot more of these, so be the first to know whenever there's a new episode. Just follow DataCue, that's DataCue, on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn. Stay safe out there, everybody. Till next time, this is Sharam.